Welcome to Chatting with Channing, and today I'm joined by Rosie Galise, the Channing Registrar in charge of the whole admissions process across the school. I got to talk to her about what drew her into admissions in the first place, what are some of the unique ways that Channing has shaped their admissions process, the typical timeline for a parent going through it, and most importantly, what are some of the regular questions prospective parents have?
Welcome to Chatting with Channing. This is the podcast for Channing School that lets you, the listener, find out more by hearing from people throughout the whole school community. Each episode, you'll hear real stories from staff, from pupils, from parents, and from the school's alumni to give you a true reflection of life on Highgate Hill. So come with us now as we get into this episode.
Well, today I am joined by Rosie. And Rosie, it would be lovely to hear a little bit about what do you do? Probably much better than me trying to introduce and say some of your many hats that you wear. So what is it you do at Channing?
So I am the Registrar of Channing and I look after every aspect of admissions with our Assistant Registrar, Victoria. This is from the first telephone call that comes into the school. It could also be organising open days where parents are visiting us for the first time. I then look after the assessments and interviews and all the bits and bobs that go with a child embarking on their journey to apply to Channing. And I look after the outcomes of those applications where we send out lots of happy letters, offer letters, and also the onboarding where we're looking after the induction of new joiners. And when they step over the threshold of Channing's doorstep, I hand them over to the head of year.
So when you sort of term registrar and admissions, is that a separate job? Are those two jobs or is that the sort of same job and it's just a different title?
I think in the independent school sector, admissions have different job titles. In registrar is a fairly popular one. Some people are head of admissions, admissions manager, but registrar is the Channing title.
Okay, nice one. And does this cover the junior school as well as the senior school? Are you kind of overseeing everybody?
Yes, we look after the junior school, which is 4+ is our main formal intake, which is into reception. And then we have chance vacancies, of course, in junior school. We also have year 7 entry, which is also known as the 11+, and 16+, which is going into sixth form. So we look after everyone and everybody that wants to come to Channing at any time.
That is a big job. So I guess for any prospective parents listening, that they're probably either going to be speaking to yourself or Victoria if they pick up that phone or encountering you and that type of thing.
Correct. That is it. It's the two of us, a great team working hard. Thankfully, we schedule the intakes to be slightly different timing, so they're not falling at the same time.
I was going to ask you that question, actually. When are your busy times? I mean, I'm sure some parents are used to around that kind of February, March, particularly for the 11+. But are there any other particular times that you're like, it's very frantic and busy for you?
I think people deserve a really good summer holiday. And so over the summer, things definitely do quieten down a lot. And then everyone wakes up again at the beginning of September. And I would say our busy time, is like September to March is our busy time. Yeah. So is there a downtime? I'm not sure, but it's super fun.
So you're probably very much deserving a holiday. Well, anyway, it would be lovely to find out, Rosie, what got you into becoming a registrar into the admissions process? Lovely to find out a little bit about your background. What did you study and what has led you to, you know, be here at Channing today?
So I come from a science background. I studied plant genetics myself, as well as a master's in University College Cork, the southern tip of Ireland. And this is an analytical science, so lots of data, evidence-based learning, which I really loved. And this has served me well in all of my roles to date.
Okay, and you said about analytical science and stuff like that. Just unpack that a little bit for us. What was it that kind of made you think, oh, this is science, I want to do this, and I love this type of studying?
I think I just had this natural curiosity as a child. I was always going to be something like a vet or a scientist or something like that. I'm the youngest of 7. So we all have very different, you know, jobs and careers and different directions. And I grew up on a farm. So that's where I really wanted to be a vet when I was small.
Oh, right. So you'd had like very practical sort of experience of this. Yeah,
absolutely. But university was fabulous. Yeah, no, I had a great time at university, yeah.
And so all that analytical, and okay, so you sort of finish university. I love talking about that and, you know, getting involved in all of the practical stuff. Okay, so then what happened next?
So my first job actually was in Imperial College in London, and in a science environment, which was great. And actually I worked with the research team. It was like working with the UN because we had people from all over the world, different nationalities. And this was my first time, obviously, you know, meeting so many different people from different backgrounds, really fantastic. And I found my happy place in marketing and student recruitment, which is very much brings together all the aspects of the job that I love, which is being front of house, being an ambassador, meeting people, providing a really good service and offering advice and guidance. And one of the main things that I do actually is I distill a huge amount of detailed information into a way that is accessible for people and supporting families to help, you know, reach their decision. And I've done that in universities, and this is my second independent school role, but that marketing and student recruitment is just what I love doing. So I will do this forever because I love it.
Okay, and obviously, yeah, it just sounds like all of your talents and skills kind of fit it so much. But how did you find that role then in Imperial? How did you end up sort of stepping into that? What made you think, okay, this is what I want to do? Or had someone else sort of said, okay, you're brilliant at this, this might suit you?
So when I was a graduate back in the 90s, all those years ago, I had my first job in Imperial, as I said, and then I was, I guess I went beyond the role with that research team where I literally got out a website design for dummies and I set up a website page for these people, and then that got knitted into the main Imperial site. And then I was hosting like lecture series where people were coming from abroad and there were guest lecturers adding to the, you know, curriculum and the academic experience of the postdocs and the postgraduate students. And then that just led on to other things. You know, I was asked once to organize a conference in the south of Spain. And my professor, my boss said, OK, so it needs a swimming pool and it needs to house, you know, X number of people. And here's me looking at villas, you know, and it was just fantastic. And every opportunity led to the next one. So, yeah, it was great.
I love it. You're just watching you sort of light up as you talk about it. Well, just kind of, okay, so here we are now at Channing. And as you said, you know, you've worked at a few other independent schools. So if you were going to describe Channing's and like philosophy on admissions, and that probably obviously encapsulate the school philosophy, put it in a nutshell, how would you describe it off the cuff?
With Channing, we really try hard to get to know the whole child. So that's why we interview every candidate at 11 plus, for example, for 4 plus and obviously for chance vacancies. Girls come in, we meet them, they are assessed, of course, but we really do want to get to know the personality and the person. We know that a 10-year-old girl, for example, is so much more than a number on a spreadsheet, and the score that she might achieve on one assessment day, that's just a snapshot of that particular day. And we'll maybe talk more about the 11 plus assessment in a minute. But we invite everyone in for an interview so we can get to know them better and understand what makes them tick. We also ask for a reference from their primary school so we can see what they're like in a more familiar setting. So we're looking for girls who are interested and interesting and what they do in their spare time, for example, and how they approach a tricky problem, and are they resilient and hardworking. But above all, we're looking for girls that are kind.
And that is so true, because I've had the real pleasure of meeting a lot of the Channing pupils particularly, and just the engagement from all ages and things like that. But it's an interesting one, and I think it's quite an opportunity for us to talk about this today, isn't it, Rosie? Because particularly in London and around the 11 plus, there's a lot of heightened anxiety, and from parents and some people listening to this as well. So it's good to hear some of the things, and it'd be obviously really nice to hear about, like, hearing the reasoning behind it, but also what you're looking for as well, and just actually getting that fully rounded picture of every, you know, girl that comes through your doors and how you're doing it. So it might be nice to hear, just let's go a step back, and we can actually have a chance just to hear a little bit about, you know, what does it look like, you know, for a parent going through from that initial inquiry, what would they kind of go, what does the timeline look like, and then just to sort of think about some of the actual different elements of it, if you're happy to talk about it.
Of course, yeah. So with every intake, it's slightly different. So I'll start with the 4 plus. We have 3 main intakes to Channing. The 4 plus is the reception aged 4 onwards. And we actually meet every single child for 4+. We don't go on registration date order. So other schools, for example, it's important perhaps to register the child at birth, and people do that with Channing as well. But we do have a deadline, which is the year before the year of intended entry. So the year before the child will start school is the time to apply to Channing. It doesn't matter how soon in advance the parents apply. They might like to get it ticked off their list and do that early, and that's wonderful. They can apply the day before the deadline. It has no impact on the outcome of the application. But as I said, other schools may process their applications in registration date order. So that is different to us.
Good to know. Something unique to Channing. Okay, brilliant. And also just for those parents listening as well, they're like, okay, that's fine.
So for 4+, we invite the girls to come in groups of 10 for a 1-hour visit. And that 1-hour visit encapsulates some activities where they might be making something. There's games they can choose, for example, what they'd like to do. And they are simply observed in performing those activities. And are they able to share with the little person beside them? Are they interacting? Are they able to listen to instructions? And all of those things are just helping us understand that child a bit more. We also do get a reference from their nursery or their childcare provider. And so all of that happens in January. So the groups happen in January, and that's the first visit that takes place. The week after, there's a second visit. We do tend to have about 250 applications for 4+, and we have 48 places available.
Okay, so it's quite a big process for you, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, we do have to reduce those numbers and try and understand who we're going to bring back for the second visit. So we have a second visit the week after, in the second week of January, and Miss Hamillis and her team in the junior school — Miss Hamillis is our head of junior school — she will make a decision on which children to bring back for a second round. And from there, offers are made in at the end of January, and then families have about a week and a half or 2 weeks to make their decision. The good thing with the 4+ is that we do agree offer dates and acceptance deadlines with other schools across North London. So it is
easier for parents.
Yeah. It is, because you know the date you have to decide, and they'll all have done their research. They'll have come to a post-offer event. They will have toured the school. Hopefully they will have had the chance to ask all those questions. And they really do have to decide, is probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah. And that's great. But actually, it's nice for parents if they have applied for one or two other schools, at least to know which offers that they could potentially hold and be able to say, OK, I have to make a decision by this date.
That's exactly it. And the phones obviously get much more busy as we're approaching that deadline. But we're here to help. So we're here to help those parents, you know, if they have any questions or if they need reassurances. And we're here to help with all of that.
And, you know, I often say that to parents as well, like, you know, just pick up the phone, because ask, you know, admissions managers are always very lovely people, including yourself, Rosie. So, OK, so that's 4+. So we're going to move on to the next one.
So 11+ is year 7, and I guess many families would be very familiar with this language that we're using, and some families just are not at all. And it's just good for families to just become familiar with the kind of words that we're using, because we use them a lot in the admissions process. But with 11+ entry, this one has a very strict deadline, usually the second week of November. At that point, we would have had maybe 6 or 7 senior school open events. At that time, we always have open days in summer term and also in autumn, which is around that time when the child is at the end of year 5, just about to go into year 6, is really the time to start, you know, seriously doing your research. Lots of families are welcome to come sooner, obviously, starting your research early. But visiting a school during an open day is a really good opportunity to see the school in action. And bringing your daughter along helps her get a feeling and to see Channing for themselves. So with the 11+ deadline, as I said, it's the second week of November usually. Straight away, Channing will send an invitation to those girls who have chosen to sit the assessment in Channing. So let me explain the 11+ consortium. It's a good time to talk about that. We're part of the London 11+ Consortium. There's 14 schools in this consortium, and we've come together to offer one assessment to all those children who have applied to any consortium school. So for example, if somebody applies to Channing and they also apply to another one or two or three of the consortium schools, the applicant can sit one assessment and we all have access to the results. So it really helps.
Great. Okay. Makes it much better. Yeah. Because that is, I mean, the old days of like going and taking six different written papers at different schools. I mean, you just feel, you know, thinking about a 10-year-old child or 11-year-old child doing that's not great, is it?
It certainly helps. It takes away that volume of just work that child has to do. So that one assessment is super, a great opportunity. And they can sit the assessment in Channing, of course, or any one of those consortium schools that they've applied to. Often the primary school can also host the assessment because we have a great relationship with our feeder schools across North London, and lots of schools, including some state schools, can actually offer to host the assessment as well. We have three specific dates because we need to formally have a limited number of dates to hold the assessment. So that's a real plus when you apply to Channing and you apply to other schools. One assessment will suffice.
Okay, great. So they've got this far as taking the assessment, whether they do it at Channing or they do it at another school or their own current school.
And so then, again, unique to Channing, we interview every single one of our candidates. So we may have something like 400 or 500 applications, somewhere between those figures. And we have 55 places available for external girls to come into year seven, because we have two classes of 24 girls in junior school who will usually cross the road and come seamlessly progress into year seven. So we tend to have 50 to 55 places for external girls. So we interview everybody. That happens our first day back in the spring term, in the beginning of January. So before our school opens up after the Christmas holidays, all the staff are in and the interviews take place on one day, which is kind of like managing a little airport.
I should say, I don't even need to ask you what are some of the significant challenges you face. I mean, it's literally like, organising that. I don't know who designs the spreadsheet or how you do that. I'll ask you about tech software in a minute. Okay, so here we are at the start of January with 400 girls perhaps coming through your door.
Yes, so they come in groups of maybe 40 to 50 girls every hour. But in that time, they come to Channing for about an hour and 10 minutes in total with the family. We want the family to come as well. And so the applicant will have a fun icebreaker activity with our head of year seven and sixth formers to really just dispel any nerves and just to loosen up and be themselves. And then our sixth formers, who are great ambassadors for the school and such a great help to me on interview day, they collect the girls, bring them to their interview rooms. We have a whole range of teachers, heads of department available to interview. So at Channing, the girls are interviewed one by one. It's not in a group setting, and everyone has their one-to-one interview in Channing, and that is scored. And we add those results and some comments having met the child alongside the assessment results. And they're the two major points that the applicant takes part in. We also get a reference from the primary school, which is the third part.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So very similar, but actually just good, like that interview. And then after that, they go home, obviously. And then how long is it before they hear from you, Rosie? I mean, obviously, you've got quite a lot of work to be doing behind the scenes as you begin to distill all this information.
So I would say 5 weeks later from there, it's usually this first or second week of February. It's immediately before the February half term, we send out offer letters. And Channing, we do that digitally. So everything is sent by email. Nothing is sent in the post. As part of that process, some girls may wish to also apply for a music scholarship. Mm-hmm. So they would have told us that as part of their application. And we would have explained that the music scholarship involves a separate audition and it comes in two stages. And stage one of the music scholarship is the family would record a little mini film at home of the child playing their main instrument. And our director of music, Mr. Peter Boxall, would have a look at that and decide if we're going to invite the child back for an audition. So the music audition actually happens on the same day as the Channing interview. So it would either top or tail the interview first and then the music audition, or else the audition and then the interview. So we try to have it all. So it's one visit to Channing.
Okay. but making life much easier for that girl and much easier for the parents as well, because it's not like they've got to come in and out or, you know, all of that type of thing, as you say, kind of making sure they just feel comfortable on that one day they arrive.
Absolutely. And in the offer letter that we send in February, they'll know the outcome of that. So they'll know the award of scholarship that they're being given, or the, at least the outcome of the audition. So a lot is hanging, I guess, on that offer letter. They'll know all of everything that they're being offered in that one email.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So they've got all of that. And I, and then obviously, as you say, you send it all out digitally. Okay. So that's the 11 plus. Well, I say taken care of. There are probably people listening thinking, no, it's not. I've barely started. But what about, so your next point of entry is sixth form, is it?
So sixth form is year 12, and that application deadline comes in the middle of October when the child, when the young person is in year 11. And we have a really fantastic, informative sixth form options evening that takes place in September. So it's an opportunity for those girls from external schools to come in and visit us. And every department is open and available with lots of, you know, stands and exhibitions and sixth formers there. If you're still not sure about what A-level choices to pick and you just want to talk about the curriculum or how it's assessed or, you know, what the content is, would that content inspire you? Is that an A-level you'd like to pick? And so we have that kind of advice and guidance on that evening. That's a great way to start, you know, kickstart your sixth form application. So the sixth form application is slightly different. You do tell us your predicted GCSE grades, and we will invite everyone to an interview. The interviews happen immediately after the October half term. And there's two sets of interviews. The first interview is with Mrs. Lindsay Hughes, our headmistress, and Miss Jo Tomback, who's our head of sixth form. That's one interview that takes about 30 minutes. And then the second interview is with our head of careers and HE. And so two interviews take an hour in total. And they are usually in person in Channing in the afternoon in November. And that will decide, I guess, the outcome of that application. We will wait for GCSE results to be published the following August to firm up if, you know, the entry criteria has been met for those new joiners.
Wow. So there we are. Three things. I was just wondering. So you mentioned about the digitally. Yeah. Has technology helped? I mean, what do you particularly use or specifically use to support you? Or have you had to sort of design systems for yourself, Rosie, for you and Victoria? Because that is a lot you're juggling, I feel.
Yes, we are very busy with obviously intakes into chance vacancies as well. As when we have a place to fill, we will try to fill it from people in our waiting list. But so, you know, technology is so important. We have huge volumes of inquiries and applications. So we've recently introduced a new Channing admissions portal, which is available on our website. When you click apply now, that's what you'll be brought to that. And it's a one-stop shop to applying to Channing. And application is really just the starting point, because a lot happens after that. And we feel it helps families manage their diaries and all the commitments that go to applying to Channing. Mm-hmm. And they can refer back there to assessment dates and interview times. So the system we use is called Open Apply. And we have, I guess, built it in a bespoke way to suit our needs. And it's working really great. But like every other family at home who maybe is juggling multiple applications, we would always recommend keeping a record of all of their commitments, and having a good solid diary to hand will help families keep on track of things too.
Okay, yeah, because actually it's making sure you've got the right dates, you're aware of this, thinking about what is coming up and type of things. And have you seen many changes in admissions or kind of parent requests or different things sort of in the last few years? Is there anything that you are beginning to notice, or perhaps it's all been the same since you've been working there?
I think we're seeing, I guess, a trend for services to be much more bespoke and individualized. Parents, you know, really are scrutinizing, I guess, the schools that they're visiting. They're trying to weigh up, you know, the right fit for their daughter. And at Channing, we want every family, you know, to really feel that they matter. And we want to offer that bespoke service to them. And So I think there's lots of economic and potentially political headwinds that are causing some anxiety for parents. We've seen that recently in the kind of questions that we are being asked about fees, for example, the implications of VAT if that comes in. And I think parents are definitely prioritizing their children's education, but given the cost of everything these days, they're probably more forensic now about their choices. And that means asking a lot more detailed questions before they can commit, which is perfectly understandable.
And thank you for sharing, because I think that's probably what a lot of people are thinking about currently at the moment with all the information kind of coming out in the press and things like that. So just as you're kind of, you know, thinking ahead, Rosie, and, you know, some of the kind of other FAQs, are there any other things that you can think of that parents often ask you? You just mentioned about fees and specifically thinking about their daughters, but there are other concerns that parents often have around admissions that you think, oh, actually, this is a great opportunity to share some of, you know, what you've thought about or what they often want to know.
I mean, one thing I would say is lots of parents ask us, you know, if my daughter didn't do so well in the assessment, but she really did well in the interview, you know, what is the weighting of each of the aspects? And, you know, I look after the committee that sits down to make a decision on every single child. So it's not as black and white, and it's not really pass or fail, to be honest. We really want children to thrive at Channing. And if we see a spark or a child who we know is just going to do so well here, you know, that child will be offered a place. And we do offer bursaries as well as scholarships. And so, and we have a whole bunch of children from state schools that come to Channing every year. I would say maybe 25, maybe 30% of our new joiners into year seven, for example, come from state schools. So what I would say, there's no real waiting, if you like, to the assessment and interview. We just want children to come, do their best, give it their best shot, and not to feel too much pressure when they're coming. You know, I would always say a good breakfast in the morning, not to big it up so much, and just try and be themselves and enjoy the experience. If nothing else, come in and enjoy the experience, especially for the interview, and as much as you can for the assessment, I guess.
No, and that's brilliant advice, because I think that is it, isn't it? And that's why you interview every child. You know, you want to see what are they like on paper, but also what are they as a young person, and what can they offer? And I think that just really sort of speaks to Channing's philosophy as well. So we've had a chance to talk a lot about, Rosie, about your job and your life at Channing, and how you make obviously the whole process really easy for parents and how you support them. What about yourself outside of Channing? I mean, what are you passionate about, and what do you get up to? Or is just life just full of work?
Oh gosh, I really try not, because I love my job. I love what I do, I'll be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I really try to leave it at the door, I guess. But I do love doing things that completely distract me. And what I found in recent years is actually upholstery is super fun, and it's meditation. It's brilliant. And fabric, who knew, you know? what you could do with the nail gun is just amazing. Actually, it's very physical on your hands. I feel, you know, I've done some pieces and my hands are sore, you know, from, you know, ripping off old things and even the needlework that goes into sewing furniture. So that's super fun. But I actually, as I said earlier, I am from a farming background, and actually my dad was a cabinet maker. So actually my dad built the house that I was born in, and he built everything. Like, he made the windows, and he did everything from scratch. So you could say he's a real craftsman, you know. But many of my siblings work in the creative industries. So somewhere, I guess, in my DNA, there's a little dormant creativity gene ready to kind of burst out. And so that's what I'm exploring at the moment with fabric, and it's lovely.
Oh, well, it's a delight to hear that. Right. Well, Rosie, thank you so much for today. Thank you for giving up your time, because obviously I know you are incredibly busy and you've got a lot going on. But we are just really grateful, because I think for many people listening, it's just really good to know, and just actually sometimes they feel that, particularly also if they're new to London, they are not aware of what could be the 11 plus process perhaps, and it sometimes feels a very complicated process, but you've just perfectly unpacked it for all of them. So thank you for that.
Pleasure. Lovely to speak to you today.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.